children, this will be a short master session. I will not have a very long introduction, and also I will not have many questions regarding this too, because I have been friends with Ibu Sita and Pak Fanya. We are three together in Asian Qualification Travel Task Force. We are three together developing our each national qualification framework. We are three of us in each country responsible also to look up the quality assurance regarding the qualification frameworks. Professor Sita Muhammad Fahdi is a special quality assurance consultant, and she is also responsible for development Malaysian qualification framework and also Malaysian qualification agency. She is right now secretary for the Asian Quality Assurance Network Executive Board. And Mr. Panya Chantapo is the deputy director for Education Standards and Quality Assurance Centers, Ministry of Education and Sport, now PDI. When you when we talk a lot about the frameworks, those frameworks is just a description of many levels. It won't have anything else if there is no quality assurance that assure that the description actually is met within the levels. So please, Ibu Sita, to start the presentation, and then followed by
Thank you very much, Ibu Mega, Fellow Speaker Panya. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I just would like to say that I appreciate the invitation to share a little bit about something very technical. We have been listening to issues at the end part of the work of quality assurance, accreditation, and so on, about recognition and about MRAs. But what goes into the MRAs starts a lot earlier. This is what I've been asked to talk, how to connect National Qualifications Framework and ASEAN Qualification Reference Framework and MRAs. What's the connection? We have been listening to all the issues dealing with MRAs, the technicalities of recognizing, how to enhance mobility, and so on. But the product that's going to come into the MRAs come from your various universities and your own higher education systems. And therefore, we look at the end, the target, and we're now looking how to get there to some point. And this is what I'm going to cover. Basically, trying to explain to you what's been happening in our countries, and what's been happening at the regional level, and how are we connected to MRAs and the professional body. So I will be moving between the national Malaysian system and the regional framework. So this is what I'm going to cover. More on the QA accreditation recognition system. I think we've heard enough of the agenda of MRAs. We've heard just now how standards are changing within the professional programs. In my mind, when I was listening to all the speakers, how are these standards being disseminated or communicated to your universities who are actually offering those programs? Because those standards that have been put at national level or international levels, those standards for professional practice competencies must be conveyed to the universities concerned, so that the QA body that's looking partly at the program. If you've been hearing about qualification framework for some time, this is some of the things that talk about qualification systems. That all countries have qualification system. The level of formality may differ. The most formal would be those who have very structured qualifications framework, very structured formal QA systems, and so on. But there are those without qualification framework still have a qualification system in place, which their universities are using, which their higher education ministries are looking at. These are the components of qualification system. And a professional qualifications would fall into these qualification arrangements. One of the key features in a qualification system would be a qualifications framework. Yeah? And that's what we're going to look at shortly. Now, let me just say a little bit about qualification framework. Almost all ASEAN countries have got qualifications framework at different stages. And they are born from either at the ministry, governmental initiative, or it can be undertaken by a statutory body, the QA body, and so on. So the formation is different. But basically, like what Ibu Mega said just now, it is merely a statement of classification of qualification that spells out the values of those qualifications, the level of learning, and so on. So it actually explains, if you apply one in your country, you are telling the whole world that this is the qualification characteristics in your system. What does it mean? And it is a framework that explains your higher education qualification system, or it may include the TVET system. So it's a basis that it supports accessibility, comparability, and so on. There are values attached to qualifications framework, but this framework must be provided with a soul and must be operationalized to make it alive and useful. Otherwise, it's as good as a paper is written on. I want to look at a qualification framework. It is only one of the tools used in recognition. It is a useful tool in transforming the education system. It is a useful tool to measure comparability of qualifications. Yes, it is one of those tools used in recognition measurements. It will tell you whether you are level 6, which is a bachelor in this country, but a level 7 in another country, is it comparable? You want to compare your qualification. And if I say it is only a tool, it doesn't solve all the problems in higher education or recognition. Yes, it is a useful tool that we must know how to use it effectively to support recognition. Because it spells out the quality of your qualification for others, to make others easily recognize that it is equivalent or comparable. All right? Now, at the ASEAN level, let me just, I'm sorry if I happen to kind of jump a little bit here and there. Now, at the ASEAN level, what's happening in the National Quality Assurance System and National Qualifications Framework? Yeah? I hope I have all the 10 countries there. Now, for quality assurance, other than Myanmar, and I know they are working very hard because I was there 10 days ago and I spent 5 days looking at what they have been preparing. The others have got a national quality assurance bodies in place. The national quality assurance bodies, their job is to quality assure program, and in their new program accreditation, they accredit the qualifications and programs of universities and institutions. So if you go to Brunei, Brunei has BDNAC, if you go to Cambodia, Cambodia has ACC, if you go to Philippines, which is a little bit more complicated, they have CHET and UNDER-CHET are the 5 accrediting agencies. If you go to Indonesia, you have BAN, and Indonesia is going on a major change. They will have an umbrella body and many, LAM, Lembaga Akreditasi Mandiri. And that's also happening because I was also there about month ago looking at how these things are developing. But I must say all ASEAN countries already have, are strengthening, they may be reviewing, and they are setting their QA systems in place. And the role mandate given to the national QA body is to quality assure and accredit the programs. All ASEAN countries already have, and I know Myanmar is already forming their QA body. They're just looking at what's the best model to use. And so is Vietnam. Vietnam is another different system that they are using. Their VNU have a role in as an EQA system. Basically, the EQA body's role is to provide confidence over the qualifications offered by your higher education institutions. Alright? On the other column, I have mentioned about the development of national qualifications framework. And almost all also would, by the time Myanmar finished by next year, I believe their qualification, Myanmar national qualification framework will be up. They have a certain number of levels, they have, they are all in progress, and you find I've just put it in abbreviations. You have Indonesia qualification framework, you have TAIQF, you have MQF, they are all, they reflect the country. Alright? And so does even Brunei and so on. Some are very fresh from the oven, because the preparation to take it off the ground, to start implementing, requires a lot of work to be done. And therefore what I'm trying to say that at the end of the day, we need to connect with the national EQA bodies as well as the qualifications framework, because they will be telling us what their qualification systems are like. Yeah? Now how do we connect it to AQRF and AQAF to make life more complicated? AQRF, as you know, is the ASEAN Qualifications Reference Framework that we hope that like EU, they have the qualification framework at European level, and that all nations will try to harmonize or align their framework to the regional framework to support mobility. The same expectation is given to ASEAN countries to do that kind of alignment to their regional framework. The same thing with quality assurance framework. Because quality assurance framework provides the basis for, if quality is a basis for your recognition for mobility, then quality assurance plays a very important role. Now, look at the mess that we are at different stages of doing work. If you reflect back within your national system, you probably have a lot of qualification practices. You have sector-based practices. We had TVET, we had skill, we had higher education, we had public, we had private. If I'm talking about my experience in Malaysia way back in the when I started the EQA work in 1997, we had lots of different EQA practices, and we need to streamline and say, okay, Malaysia, you need to have this kind of qualifications that you can confer in your country, because for the sake of clarity, for the sake of recognition, for the sake of mobility, you need to streamline. And you need to be clear what the qualifications are saying. So we decided, that's how we decided that we need a qualifications framework. The idea is to enhance the system, the idea is to streamline the qualification in view of all the changes, and we need a strong quality assurance system in place to ensure it happens. Now, with ASEAN agenda, we have AQRF, we have AQAF, we have this mobility issue, there are various professional, regional professional standards coming into place, then how would we align our system? And one day when we clear our relationship with the EU, as under ASEAN, there's a bridging convention for recognition between ASEAN and the EU system, we are looking actually at the bigger picture, or the other dialogue partners that you have. But the impact of all this is, at the ASEAN level, as we try to align our systems together, is harmonization of higher education. To some point, it's going to be harmonization for TVET system, as well as harmonization for quality assurance system, and we feel that supports the MRA initiatives. All right. Back in Malaysia, when we developed National Qualifications Framework, we were driven by a number of, we need an enabling environment, because that drives MQF into the system way back in 2007. And we have policies and strategies at the national level that talks about human capital, the need to improve graduate employability, the need to look at skills, competencies, and knowledge, and so on. And qualifications framework in a way kind of promises that these qualifications will be reflected in their teaching and learning. So we had laws and regulations in place. And then we need a quality assurance body to deal with it. And we also need to develop alliances. So our alliances, one of the strongest alliance we have is with the professional bodies. Yeah, with the professional bodies. A lot of capacity building. We also work with our QA counterpart in New Zealand and Japan. And now we have a session with South Africa too. How are our qualifications aligned with other regions beyond ASEAN? Yeah. So we thought that would also enhance the system. So you find the columns, the pictures on the other side of the slide. Is those are the drivers for better qualification and graduates and so on. All right. Now, we started way back in 2007. The framework was developed much earlier, launched in 2007 with the MQA Act, and there is a legal authority to implement it, but these were the reasons why we felt that National Qualifications Framework becomes very important. We're talking about harmonization in the regional area. We're talking about harmonization among ASEAN. One of the key issues we had was how to harmonize internally. Because we have different sectors, how can we harmonize the system internally within the national system before we can even talk about enhancement externally with our regional system? And there are many reasons. I think one, when we first started, we were looking at transforming, enhancing the education and training sector. That was the reason, first reason why drives the MQF. The other seems to fall into place when you start looking at the global challenges, the regional needs for recognition, workers' mobility, student mobility, and so on. And we have a blueprint for lifelong learning. So MQF are able to provide those kinds of pathways that addresses all these issues. And let me just put it in how we contextualize it. The role of quality assurance and the position of the qualifications framework. And I think this probably will work in most countries. On one side, you have the regulatory, the ministries, and the systems for registration of institution, approving, licensing, policies, strategies, and all that, including looking at students, among the big things that they have to look at. Then you have the QA system. Your QA system will ensure that the programs that's going to be approved and running, that meets the standards required. And depending on the QA practices, we do program accreditation because we think it's still important because of the qualifications framework. You need a competent body, and we need to collaborate with our stakeholders. A QA body cannot exist on its own. You need to work with your higher education institution, you need to work with the employers, you need to work with the professional body. In our case, that's what we do. We actually have an alliance with all of them, including our QA counterparts elsewhere. And therefore, the QA bodies serve what the ministry and national strategies require in terms of ensuring high quality of education, ensuring quality of graduates, and so on. And on the other hand, on the other side, once you have completed your work on QA and doing accreditation, I will talk about the way we work with the professional body shortly. But the output of those accreditation exercises, in our case in Malaysia, the Public Service Commission will recognize those qualifications for purposes of employment in the civil service. Those who are not accredited, their students cannot work with the government, if I can say it very simply. Private employment services. We also collaborate with professional bodies to allow people to move into practice. We look at student universities accepting students into higher education for further education. We look at workers' mobility, especially when they are inbound workers. And we do equivalency of qualification, those that are not covered by MRAs. Some institute was to employ a person with some kind of credential, but they're not sure what level it is. Is it credible? They will come and ask, what level is this qualification? So framework becomes very useful in identifying, especially inbound, inbound students and inbound workers. So basically, the end product, the users of accredited qualification would be by the recognition authorities for different reasons. Alright, so that's how we have segmented how our work in the country. But from a QA angle, we look at whether the program is sustainable, whether the institution are accountable for the quality of the programs, and we look at issues of trust. At the moment, issue of confidence, issue of trust of a quality of qualification becomes an issue in recognition matters. Alright? And let's come back to AQRF. Yeah? Now AQRF simply, I've just simplified the whole thing, I've just shortened the whole thing a little bit. There is a qualifications framework there, an 8-level framework, which is called ASEAN Qualification Reference Framework. The word reference first will tell you that that national system should refer to it when they're measuring their own system against it. There's a requirement for robust quality assurance system. How do I trust your qualification coming from this country? What is the system of assuring quality in yours in for this program? And also an information system, because we talk a lot of information sharing, so there is a need to set up their own individual information system. At this point of time, the AQRF has been endorsed. As a framework, it has been endorsed by, in our case, we had to get the Minister of Human Resource to agree, we had to get the Ministry of International Trade to agree, we had to get Ministers of Education to say yes to this AQRF, and so it has endorsed. What is not yet endorsed is a manual for implementation. And I hope, I think in the next 2 weeks, that manual will be approved, at least at the task force level. And we hope that by next year, when the systems are up, there is an advisory council that's going to be used to make recommendations and so on. This AQRF will be fully operationalized by AQRF advisory council. It's only then we can do referencing at the national level. What we have done at home is we have started looking at doing national consultation. Does Malaysian stakeholders agree to AQRF? What are the issues in terms of levels and learning outcomes? Can we agree on levels and learning outcomes and the details of it, the purpose of it, and what it serves? And we have a cross-sector consultation, and then we had get the cabinet to approve to be involved in it, and the AQRF has been, MPA has been designated as the coordinator and so on. And so on. So while we're doing this, we are also looking back at our own system. How far would M2M actually is aligned with AQRF? What needs to change? What needs to be adjusted? And what our plans about referencing against the AQRF, and so how to get people on board? It is not merely referencing on paper. We have done, we have implemented from 2007. We want to say that the qualification that's accredited is actually against the framework. That it meets all the framework requirement. That's an award given by the universities and so on. So we have a deadline that we want to finish with this. So on the other hand, this is what the national system has done. Just a quick look at this. In terms of comparison, what are the features in the MQM and what are the key features in the AQRF? We said we are lucky, they only have 8 levels. Because we started with 8 levels, so we didn't have to think about creating new levels there. Although when we were reviewing the MPF, we were saying, should we have an associate degree to allow more mobility for all people to come in and work in the sectors, you know? So we may not be able to do it. But these are the features. And for each of those items that are listed on the right side, you need policies, you need instruments, you need systems in place to make it meaningful, to be able to operationalize lifelong learning. What do you have to do? Do you do recognition of lifelong learning? Do you have systems in place? Do you have assessments in place? If you want to make MQF operational, alive, and serve the society. So we have 8 levels, and we basically look at level 1 to 5 as TVET, more of a TVET component, and that's where we are re-looking at this. And if I compare with AQRF, I've not gone to the specific level outcomes. Basically, the objectives are the same. Yeah, the learning outcomes may be worded differently, but if you go into detail, it's a lot similar, and so on. Yeah, just an offhand look. So we've started re-looking at this. Now this is a little bit complicated, so I'll just spend a couple of minutes on this one. And how do we relate the professional bodies, professional qualification, MQF, AQRF, and the whole works, including skills? All right? The tall column on the right side is about the National Education and Training Systems. It is largely under the Ministry of Education, Ministry of Higher Education, and we have two back to two. We have Ministry of Human Resource, another couple line ministries that are involved in training. They have laws and regulations in terms of establishment, registration, approval of programs, and so on. So that sets the structure. And where do we come in? We said, okay, we have an MQF. MQF is a basis for all qualifications in the country. Yeah? So no programs will be approved unless it is in compliance with the MQF. That's the first policy. Like Leslie was talking about, is it mandatory, not mandatory? What ensures this happen is a quality assurance system. We have a quality assurance system that we start assessing the program even before approval, before they start, before they are licensed, and to the point of them being accredited and so on. That's a quality assurance system we put in place because we do program accreditation. In this case, QA we share with the professional bodies. I'll explain shortly. Alright? And then we started developing program discipline standards. We have about 23 now. That helps institutions design their programs, the learning outcome, the requirements, the assessments, and so on. So that there are less disputes about what the program proposal should cover. Alright, there are some flexibility given. But when you go to the discipline requirement, I like my colleague from tourism, we're talking about tourism competence, professional competencies. And that's a good test case for me. How would we relate? Because here we're now looking very closely to the industry standard that have been developed, the NOS NOSS. We now have an industry skills council under the trade ministry, and they are trying to look at what are the industry competency standards required. Yeah, and I would think the tourism competency standard would fall into this. Industry standards, and that should fall into the tourism programs at which level which may be relevant. Alright, so that's how we link with the industry standards or the standards that are set. And now you have ASEAN skills standards going on. There's a committee looking at ASEAN skills standards. They are developing standards, I think, according to some of the priority areas, 12 priority areas, that's very strong mobility requirement. And therefore, we need to touch base with that, all right? And therefore, it should support MRA for skills. Because these are, again, a little bit different. But when it comes to professional qualifications, we have an arrangement with professional bodies, with the major professional bodies, where we said, your professional degree is at level 6 of MQF. If I can quickly offhand say, it is level 6 of AQRF. They set the standards. What is an MBBS? The Malaysian Medical Council sets the guideline for MBBS program. The EAC, Engineering Accreditation Council, sets a standard for a Bachelor of Engineering that will meet professional standards. So we work very closely at Level 6 program where there are professional bodies. What are the standards required? And my friend yesterday was talking about accountants, how they try to match the competencies required in accounting with our program standard that should fall into the university's program. Alright, so that's how we connect with the professional bodies. We provide for the provision of a joint technical committee by law to allow this collaboration, because we felt that there's no need to re-engineer, no need to do duplicate work. You come for this accreditation and you go back to the professional body for another round of assessment. We thought we can try to overcome that one. And the product of the decision for professional program, which is actually made by the professional boards, would be a basis for MRAs today. That's how we connect with MQA, not really directly connected to making decisions on recognition. We try to separate our work from accreditation to recognition, because we felt that recognition has other issues to consider, not just purely quality angle. All right. This is a link in terms of operationalizing the whole thing. So we might have, if you see Kuala Lumpur applies for a Bachelor of Engineering, a four-year program, and their objective is to create have graduates become professional engineers, and so they are learning their decision, their objective will be very clear. At that point already, we will work with the professional bodies. We have a joint technical committee, and the processing of all those applications for new programs will be with the joint technical committee. We do joint training with them. We help them develop their manuals and their standards so they have the same common templates and so on. But the decision, the advice is given by the professional body. Can this program, a potential professional program, be approved? The ministry gives licensing for the universities to run the program. It goes the same for medical program, QS program, architecture program, quite large number of professional bodies, mostly under allied health. Alright? And once we've cleared there, the Ministry of Education gives them the license, they start the program, then we'll come back for full accreditation. Again, we'll come back to the professional joint technical team with the professional bodies to do the accreditation assessment exercise. They recommend. Alright? They recommend if the program would have met the professional standards. And then once they have met their recommendation, you know, I put their 3-in-1, sounds like Nescafe 3-in-1. One application, one set of standard, one set of panel, one site visit, and so on. Common documentation. There are three agencies that will use the decision. Once the professional body say yes, it can be accredited, it has met the professional body's standard, it is accredited by MQA, the professional body will recognize and gazette the qualification, the Public Service Commission will recognize the qualification for purpose of employment and so on. So we felt that save money, save time, save a lot of paperwork, and so on for universities who are involved in this. I would say largely we're quite successful with many professional bodies, although one or two are still coming back to us to discuss again and again about this arrangement and then so on. So that's how we support. We think at the end the product leads to the MRA requirement. That's how we work. Now I'm finishing. What is it? Am I? Okay. Thank you, Brian. I'm just on my last slide. Alright, just quickly, I just want to conclude and I just want to repeat that National Qualification Framework supports MRA. AQRF will make MRAs easier because you would have aligned your key qualifications. For us, we're not just looking at professional qualification, we look at all qualifications. So I think the recognition requires us to adopt good practices of how you do assessment for recognition purposes. And we say, so my conclusion, we support mobility and so on, but there are still many challenges. For example, even for us, we're looking at TVET and skills into as a one single system now, not two. And we need, at the end of the discussion, the last 2 days, we need a national reference point. We need a better ecosystem to support that mobility that is clearly on the ASEAN agenda. And that's what we are all here for. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ibu Sika. Thank you so much.
Good evening, everybody. For Tom, I would like to present very softly because Professor Chita already mentioned about the NQRF or the role of QA in the region. So I would like to present you the case of LAPR. What is the progress and the pilot in our country? This just remind our meeting together that we're talking about MRA, and there are 12 sectors that the women agree to set the priority for them. And the second one, Professor Chita already mentioned about MRA on service and MRA on skill. I would like to explain more about it. When we talk about MRA, eight areas of MRA, this one initiated by Assistant Secretariat, and focus more on professional level. But the other one is MRAS or MIS, talking about the skill. This one in ASEAN, initiated by ILO, International Labour Organization, we already developed the competency. We call common competency standard around ASEAN, such as the tourist sector. This one is the list of competency standard that ASEAN already developed. And I show you some case in Laos that we already adopt this idea that now there are several of competency standard. This one we call national competency standard. The other one is ASEAN common standard, and we also developed the national competency standard. There are four subsectors. And this one have been used in Tibet school and also some training center. This just show you what is the AQRF and the NQF for each country. This slide will support what Professor Chita already mentioned, that AQRF will support each country to link together or to recognize the qualification. And once again, the MRA will focus in professional level, and the MRS or the skill level will focus in the first level. And the next slide, I would like to show you what is the progress of LAPR on development of NQF. We start to do it for a long time as your country. We start from 2012, but now still in draft because of many of the issues. We plan to be adopted in the end of this year or next year. And The most important is we need to put it in with the law, the act. And last month, in the August, the government has announced the new education law. And inside the education law, we put the ethical, some ethical to mention about NQF and also the quality assurance. It's very important for the quality assurance for NQF. If you did not put in the legal framework, it's hard to implement. That's why the first step of LAPR that we finished the amendment of law. And based on this new education law, the draft document concerned to NQF or quality assurance will be approved, I think, by the end of this year or next year. This is the picture of Laos and Korea. We set in eight level. And of course, a lot of challenge that Professor Chita already mentioned that you can understand that a lot of work for NQF or QA system, but we're lucky that we have support from under AQRF, we and Laos and Malaysia is the partner to develop the system. This week, my team are going to Kuala Lumpur, go to NQA to do the workshop for technical assistance. And we also have the ADB project to support NQA development and QA development. And the authority for NQA also discussed to set up in soon. But the challenge for Lao is a lot of experts mean a lot of problems. I told the Chita expert from many countries. And of course there are a lot of practice, different practice. So it's quite hard for Lao because with Jin lacking of experience, it's quite hard to decide how to do. So I think this one is very challenge for us. And also the capacity building on NQF implementation. NQF just the document, but when we develop the NQF, we need to develop several of things as Projita has mentioned, and also the quality assurance and investment a lot to improve the quality system. And the last line here I want to mention here is the lesson learned from Lao that we have developed the competency for nurses, the pilot project, and this one used to revise the curriculum system and also used for the pilot project in hospital for modern pilot modern gas. And the next one is we adopt competency based training, and also we just introduced the quality assurance for to assure the provider. Provider mean the DVET school, the university, and the training college. And we try to extend to the program level to assure the system. And within the QA practice or QA experience, I think it's very useful for Lao to develop in the next step. And the last one, I would like to say that the national policy and system is very important to build the confidence for the production holder. Because if without the confidence, the people cannot move out from the country, cannot move out to the outside. Of course, the trust is also important for the acceptance, but the QA is the key to run the system. I just want to read here. And you can do it. Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, Panya. I think we only have 5 minutes left for entertaining the forum if you have any question. Any comments? Yes, please.
My question, it's really a clarificatory question addressed to you. Based on your experience with the ASEAN countries, what is the dynamics between the regulatory, professional regulatory board groups or governmental groups versus the professional associations? I think in the Philippines, I don't know whether once the professional associations say, yeah, it's a go, then the professional regulatory commission just ministerially say yes. So that's one of my comments. The second one, again, on the ASEAN level, what is the role of the private sector? I mean, I haven't heard from any of them in terms of the influence of the private sector on this qualification assurance qualification. And also the MRI, I don't know if you're in a position to mention that, but what is the role of the private sector? They've been very much engaged in across ASEAN in terms of coming up with this quality assurance. Thank you.
Thank you. Masita, you would like to pick up on that? So the roles of the body and professional associations, and then the industry.
So I hope
my voice is, yeah, now it's loud enough. The private sector are part of our stakeholders, but they are the largest employers in the system, in Malaysia. So in developing qualifications frameworks, in developing standards, especially the discipline requirements and the industry standards, the private sectors are required to come on board, especially the big industries, because they are the ones that determine the industry standards. They also, in the long run, we hope that they can provide more support in terms of training, because we need practical experiences. Yeah? All right, I hope I can answer your second question. Professional bodies, quickly, by law, we are required, by our act, we are required to collaborate with the professional bodies. Because professional bodies existed long before we did. And we recognize they are independent body, so we need to collaborate with them so that we speak the same language. Not easy, it's a challenge, but you must be able to get them on board. I think it's very important, because the universities need to know that we are also aligned to the professional bodies.
Dr. Pani, do you want to add on that? Okay. So in other systems, sometimes regulatory bodies is having a different organization with professional association. Professional association is just collection of all professionals. The regulatory body is the one who set the standards and do the assessment and etc. See, in some other countries, they just put all together. Because of the time, I think I have to close this session. Dr. Sita and Dr. Panya mentioned, there's three very important roles that NQF or AQRF can be played. The first one is for communication. So you have to state it, what is in your country, what kind of human capital levels, qualification that you have, so that you can talk to other countries. Second, that is better roles is to reform the education system, the training system, etc., so that you can develop a zone of trust when you communicate with others. You can just put the labels without anything supporting that the labels is really correct. And the third one is surely for transforming. This one, for example, we saw later on in AQF, Australian Qualification Framework, and NCQA. Anytime you come to this country, you will be asked whether you have the Australian Qualification Framework or not. It's not only regarding the MRS, but everybody should prove themselves that have the qualification. So I just would like to mention, this is the one that we promote to the Asian Qualification Reference Task Force, that if we talk about the MRS, they talk only the professional, certain competencies. And these competencies belong to the professional association or regulatory bodies that have a law that bind on each countries. And then these competencies also bind to the international standards, which is different from each country. So that's why it's very, very difficult to make a connection lines between these professionals. The one that we promote is doing the referencing. If this professional qualification can align to the national qualification framework, they know where is the position on the national qualification framework, and this national qualification framework is aligning to the Asian qualification framework, then everything actually is open. So everybody will do in their own backyard. You don't need to make a new pot to making a competencies. But then because of the quality assurance alignment, then all these professionals' levels can be translated to each other through the language of the qualification framework. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think we have to close this session. Thank you so very much for your attention.
For more information, visit the Migration Policy Institute at www.migrationpolicy.org.